Welcome back, everybody, to the Inside Texas Baseball Show. I'm your host, Evan Veith. As always, joined by Nash Talks Texas. And right now on Inside Texas, you're going to get one of the best promo deals that we've ever released, similar to what we had in the spring for some of that recruiting, spring practice stuff. We have a $1 sale until August 30th at Ohio State game for new members only. If you want to join the Inside Texas family today, it is just going to be $1 up until then. It's just the best deal you're going to find in all of college sports reporting. Texas basketball, football, baseball, of course, that Nash and I are covering, all on the website. And of course, our very own Paul Waldington has his own thing to show you, 2025 Longhorn Football Prospectus, the almanac, the best thing you're going to get to find out about Texas, SEC, and just general football for this next season. Paul does this every year for Thinking Texas Football. It's one of the best pieces of media you can find surrounding the Texas football sphere. So you can find all those links to buy his ebook or just the hard copy in the description. Go ahead and look at that because it is some of the best stuff. Nash, we are here to talk baseball. Unfortunately, Paul does the football shows plenty of times a week, so you'll hear from him. And I think first we're going to talk a little bit about how this defense is going to work. Connor, if you wouldn't mind pulling up that graphic for us. There's just a lot of new from this lineup, and Nash is showing a percentage point of the snaps, other than football mode, the games and innings played. Exactly. Games, innings played for each of these players at the positions that we currently project them to start at. So obviously Casey Borba and Adrian Rodriguez played a little bit more than 0% and 22% of the games last year, same with Jonah Williams. But we're talking specifically in their positions where Ethan Mendoza is really the only one returning any sort of production at their spots. Nash, when you're first looking at this graphic, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, so specifically what this is talking about, this is looking at how many games each player started at a certain position. So, for example, Jonah Williams, he had 2 starts at DH. That's going to be 3% of the DH starts. And what you're really seeing is you're seeing a lot of zeros on the board here. Mm-hmm. So even like a guy like a Jonah Williams, who he had 13 starts in left field, that's 22%, same as Adrian Rodriguez at third base. He has 0 starts in center field. So this is a deal where – and then also Casey Borba. You got Casey Borba, who started majority of the year at third base. Right now it's looking like Adrian Rodriguez is probably the favorite to go and land that spot. Casey Borba going and playing first base. Kimball Schuessler and Jalen Flores are the 2 defensive players for Texas that nobody other than them started at their positions. So there is going to be, without any doubt, we're going to have a brand new starter at shortstop and first base.
Yeah, 5 new starters on this team in this lineup. And like you said, Rodriguez is probably where we are at right now. We expect that Rodriguez is going to make that defensive jump and play third.
Also, I mean, I feel like that's just also a reasonable expectation given when you saw Adrian Rodriguez join the roster. Not only was he hitting in the 2-hole to start the year, like versus Louisville, he was out there. That's where I think in like 9 of his 13 games that he started were in the first 9 games. So the staff clearly wanted him to work out at third base. He just kind of looked a little bit like a freshman early on, but I think they're going to really try and hammer that home again.
Yeah, and probably what hurt him as the season went on is asking him to play in left and second base, having him DH games, an injury, of course, that kind of inhibited his ability to switch hit. But, yeah, Borba at first makes a lot of sense. He probably has the most experience on the roster to be able to do that long term. Freeman, the Georgia State transfer, Caleb Freeman, could also contend for that, but he at DH, I think, also makes a lot of sense. But, yeah, 5 new starters on this defensive side of things. The real big one that you're seeing is no Rylan Galvan behind the plate. That's going to be replaced by Carson Tinney, which – you might not even notice the difference. Tinney is just lights out back there. And then Timo Becerra, who comes over from Stanford, a real veteran. But that's been Jalen Flores' spot for the last 3 years. And Flores, especially this past season, you know, that UTSA game, the final 2 that happened, really put a kind of sour note on to the year that he had. But super, super efficient at shortstop. Not a lot of errors. Made some really good plays deep in the hole. And you're replacing that with someone who's, you know, fielding percentage, I think, can be a real problematic stat because it just takes a lot of context out of fielding and makes it's either an error or not. But Becerra did struggle with errors in his time at Stanford. And you'd hope that a veteran shortstop will not only help himself out, but help Rodriguez and Mendoza out in the middle of the field. But that is a point of concern for me as we look into this defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I know that Jalen Flores, that's one of the easy ones to kind of pick out on defense because – The errors that you remember, they're more memorable. Like they stick out in your mind. You know, obviously the error in versus A&M, the throwing error. I still maintain that that was one. It's an example of what we're talking about, the loss that you're going to have Jalen Flores. He made one hell of a play on the ball, like even getting the ball in his glove, but made a throwing error, and that's all that people remember. Losing Jalen Flores is – I know people are going to have their, you know, whatever they want, feelings they want on Jalen Flores, but losing him is that you're losing an elite defender on the field.
Yeah, he really tuned up his play at the end of the year. One point I do want to make about where this roster stands and where if you were to just start watching this show right now, it'd be a little bit misleading, is at least with these players that are coming in, they aren't 0% at their position, right? Tinney is a great shortstop, but Sarah there started at that position. Robbins, corner outfielder. Marnik, corner outfielder. The only spots where you have players that really haven't been playing that position long-term is Williams in center field, sort of Rodriguez at third and Borba at first, but even then, that might be a little nitpicky. So the only one, and this was in an article I wrote earlier this week that we're going to talk about later, that concerns me a little bit is, can Williams take that step in center field after playing a lot of football in the fall, probably into 2026, make that quick turnaround a month later and start in center field immediately after being a left fielder the year before, already young for his age, going into what would be his freshman season at Texas? Can they rely on that to be the long-term guy, or is that maybe Aiden Robbins' spot until we can get Williams fully secure there? But are you confident in Williams' ability to be able to turn around and do that as an athlete?
We're going to have to wait and find out on that one, because like this is – I'll say this for Jonah. Whatever happens with Jonah, if he is a guy that just goes out there and just – is able to play every down on football for defense, you know, play special teams, and then comes on baseball field and you don't notice a drop off. I'd say that's believable for Jonah, and that's probably one of the only players I would actually say that's believable.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah Williams is just such a special level of talent that, like, I'm not trying to overhype him or anything like that, but just watching him at the plate, he looked, as a 17-year-old, he looked like one of the most confident players on the baseball field. At the plate specifically, on the defensive side, to your point, he looked like, you know, he was waiting for Will Gasparino to call him off, you know, especially early on when he first got on the field, which is understandable. You know, you struggle a little bit of seniority, but if he is going to be taking this center field position, I want him to like go out there and take control. You are like your head honcho number one. If there's a ball, if there's a fly ball on the pitcher's mound, you want to run up and grab it. Call everybody off. You're the guy, right? you're number one in priority. But all that said, I just if there was a player that could do it, Jonah Williams is probably the one. Like I know his name gets tossed around with Bo Jackson a lot because the dual sport, and you know he's a really talented guy. And let's you know I jokingly say that too, but kind of pause the expectations on the Bo Jackson, one of the best, if not the best athlete we've ever seen. But you know, again, if there was a guy to be able to do it, Jonah's probably that guy.
If there's a guy who you can see having that confidence uptick from year one to year two, surely it's Williams. He's a confident kid. He's just first time playing in the outfield as a 17-year-old. It's going to happen when you've got a guy like Gasparino out there who's so solid defensively. Yeah, and it'll also help to have Becerra, who's a really, really veteran infielder there for guys like Rodriguez on that side of the field, and for Williams when those balls are kind of in that in between. But I do want to talk a tiny bit about the backups here and the guys who are behind everyone, because you've done a good job of laying out what the kind of two deep would look like. Ermis at catcher was brought in, a JUCO guy from Texas who should just be a solid backup catcher. That's what they brought him in to do.
Really good.
Josh Livingston. That's the selling point for Ermis. Josh Livingston was the first transfer commit. Now kind of looks like that 10th man on this team. Good lefty bat. Good player. You'd be fine with him starting. You're really happy that he's the backup. First and second base are where he's really going to show his ability to kind of tune in with Mendoza, who you kind of want to see Mendoza play a full season if possible, but Livingston can play there, can back up Borba. Borba at third base there as the backup, but shortstop defensively for the backups. It's sort of Rodriguez, it's sort of Duplantier. What happens in your mind if Becerra goes down and you have to replace someone at shortstop? who is the player that they're going to put in, and how confident are you in that player to be able to play that position?
I mean, off the rip, I'm going to say Adrian Rodriguez, because I think that the staff is, from what I – now, this is not like me knowing or anything like that, right? But I believe that the staff is going to want to try and get Adrian – Adrian Rodriguez wants a shot at shortstop. Adrian Rodriguez is – he's a very talented baseball player, I mean, as we've seen. Really good size on the dude. This is a guy that he's going to have to really kind of prove his defense to be able to play there in that spot. But what you gonna call it? I think that Becerra, man, there is a chance that he is the starter, right? Like right now, obviously, we have him penciled in as a starter. But I think that there's a good shot that he could end up playing third base because he has a good arm over there for third. And, I mean, the hot corner, that's honestly one of the places that you want one of your best defenders at. But you also want him over there at shortstop. I could see it in Adrian Rodriguez, you know, coming in as a backup. But I could also really see a Becerra. Shortstop is one of these positions where I don't even think the coaching staff really fully knows who's going to start there. Yeah. They just – hey, we got a handful of names, and whoever's going to play the best, play the best. And that's this is one of the things that made the Carson Luna, you know, transferring out. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was like, dude, you were nearly going to be the starter. Like, good Lord. But, yeah, so should be a wide-open competition there at shortstop.
Yeah, I am still surprised by the Luna transfer because it felt like – I mean, how often are players actually playing in their sophomore year when you weren't the top guy in your class? And then also, okay, Texas brings in Becerra, then you're playing the next year. You're probably the penciled-in starter as a junior. So he would have been nice to have. Also, a note, we haven't talked about them a lot. That may be a show we tackle in the future. But this new freshman class really doesn't have a lot of infield depth. It's a lot of pitching and outfield. So there's really not a guy coming up freshman-wise that's going to help at shortstop. In the outfield, I do think the depth is pretty good with Duplantier being able to play out and left as well as Rodriguez. And then some of the guys like Livingston and Freeman can play the corners. Robbins will be able to back up center field. Anthony Pack Jr. is a freshman who I'm pretty excited about. Fast guy, good fielder, will be able to come in. But I think that kind of ends this segment up for us. We're going to hear from Josh Holden right now, and then we'll be back with a little bit more talking about the pitching.
Hi, guys. Sorry to interrupt. But if you're thinking about buying or selling a home in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, you need to contact Josh Holden. The Metroplex is massive, and the local real estate market is full of nuances and subtleties only an experienced agent like Josh can help you navigate. From Preston Hollow to Highland Park, uptown to old East Dallas, Josh will be there to guide you through the process of buying or selling your home. Now, Josh is a UT grad, a lifetime Texas X. He's reliable, savvy, and from a personal perspective, he's a really great guy to chat with. So why don't you give him a call and chat with him today about your real estate needs in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. His number is 972-917-8081. That's 972-917-8081. Or you can reach him at his website, which is joshholdenrealestate.com. All the contact details are in the description below. Thanks so much. And back to the show.
Thank you so much, LC and Josh Holden, as always. We've talked about the offense, and really not the offense, the defense for these Texas position players. But now some talk a little bit about the coach or the pitching staff, excuse me, because this has been a point of contention with some of our readers and how the staff will look. Is it what you want to be bringing into a team with aspirations of the College World Series? So, Nash, right now, where you see this team and where you see this rotation, how many players do you think have a legitimate shot at being a potential weekend starter or even getting multiple Tuesday looks long-term on this roster?
You see it right here. I got five names that you look at. Like last year, you had Luke Harrison. He's obviously, of all the guys, that's probably the safest to get a start, to retain a starting role. Mm-hmm. Luke is probably like, you're guaranteed that he's going to be a starter. Cade Bing, he entered the season last year, very similar to the conversation we had about Adrian Rodriguez at third base. He entered the season as that Sunday guy. So this is a deal where, unless he regresses, I mean, he's going to look to take that Sunday role back. And I've been told a lot of the reason why he lost the Sunday role was his emotions were too up and down with Max Wehner. And Max Wehner said, hey, we're going to move you to the midweek role, you know, let you develop a little bit, and then we'll get you back in there. We'll, you know, give you another look at that weekend role. So Cade Bing, to me, he's a name that I think a lot of people are writing off as that Sunday night starter, that he may actually go out there, grab that Sunday night role again. And then now, hey, look, you got Ruger Riojas, Thomas Burns, and Dylan Blantis left for that other spot. In my opinion, all three of those guys, and I didn't have Ruger on the closing pitcher, I should have. All three of those guys can play any, they can either do a relief pitch, they can start pitch, they can close. These are guys that they can do just about anything for this team. So I think the starting pitching is going to be extremely competitive. The midweek, you're also going to have some competitive, you know, looks there. You got Flores, Rarick has transferred out. I don't even have his name on the roster anymore. Hudson Hamilton, Ethan Walker. So there's going to be some really solid dudes going for that midweek role. And then you got your, you know, your relief pitchers that a few of those guys might not make it, you know, back to campus, like a Grayson Saunier. But Texas is looking in a really, really good spot pitching-wise.
Yeah, and Rarick, like you said, transferred out, so cross his name off the list. But I think what people forget about Thomas Burns is he started all six of his appearances at Arizona State, had a decent ERA, pretty raw pitcher as a freshman coming in and facing the Big 12. But that is an option for him. And I think for me personally, I'd like him to be in this eighth inning, seventh inning, really high leverage role. I think that's where he best suits. But yeah, if you had to give me a bet right now of the best four, I'd say it's Volantis on Friday. I'd say it's Harrison on Saturday. And then Riojas and Bing for that Sunday spot. If Riojas wins it, Bing on Tuesday. If Bing, excuse me, wins it, then Riojas in the bullpen. Bing could also be a bullpen arm, but I'd like to see him start. And then that midweek, I think for me, it's one of course, Bing. Also, Flores or a freshman is something we need to talk about, because the freshmen aren't included on this because we just don't know. Some of them might get drafted. Some of them, you just have no idea when those guys come up.
But it's a shot in the dark almost.
Oh, completely. And we'll know more when they're on campus. But remember how much freshmen impacted this roster last year with a guy like Volantis. And you know, Bing wasn't a true freshman, but he kind of was a freshman in the way that he came up through the ranks. So it's going to be an important part of the team, is having these freshman pitchers being able to throw early in the season to secure a spot. But Hudson Hamilton's a guy that started a lot in the late part of the season. He started two regional games, or either started one and then pitched really early in a second one. So they like his identity as someone that can stretch long into games. He will have that shot, as will Ethan Walker. But as it stands right now, I think Texas's best spot is Volantis Friday, Harrison Saturday, figure out Sunday and Tuesday a little bit. And then, man, Grubbs, Burns, and any of this Dotson, Higgins group as left-handed pitchers coming in. You don't even have Hayden LaFeu on here, but that's the most recent transfer. Those guys are going to be really, really strong in the bullpen. So outside of the questions that we're talking about, what's the thing you're most confident in this staff going forward?
Probably that the ability to improve. I mean, like, yeah. I know that this sounds crazy to think that a top five staff is going to come back and the next year that they're going to be improved on the mound. It's hard for me to see a world where this staff actually digresses, you know, when you think about it, man, like the guys that they're adding in, like I don't have Hayden LaFeu on here. Hayden LaFeu, Cal Higgins, Luke Dotson. These dudes, if you were to find one common thing that these guys all do, one, they strike guys out. Two, they throw a lot of strikes, and they do not throw balls. They don't walk guys. You see the identity that Max Winger wants. He wants you to pound the strike zone. You know, it's like they say, like the dominate the zone, throw strikes. I really have a lot of confidence in this team to go out there and improve. You got Dylan Volantis, Luke Harrison, Ruger Riojas, Cade Bing, Thomas Burns. You're going to find three starters out of that. Midweek guys, you're going to find three guys out of those dudes. The replacement pitchers, add in LaFeu, add in some of the guys, add in some of the freshmen that honestly probably are worthy of starting, you know, and they're going to end up having to earn their role to start in 2 years down the road. But that's the world that Texas is turning into, especially, you know, with the pitching, is we're going to have a lot of really good options and
yep.
prove yourself to get on the mound.
Yeah, and improvement is never linear, and neither is progression in sports. But what's something that I think a lot of fans struggle with, and especially football, but baseball is one of it too, is that just because it's unknown of how it's going to look, it's not the same thing you saw last year, does not mean it can't get better or that this is not what's helping the team the most. The highest ceiling for Dolan Volantis is as a starter. That's just how it is. That's how baseball works. I want the best pitcher on the team to be starting if he's physically able to do that, if he's not just a closer only, and that's all his only role. Volantis is the best pitcher on this team. He may be a top two, three, four pitcher in the country next year if all goes right for him. Imagine what this Texas staff looked like last year if they had a top 10 pitcher in it, top 50. I mean, how good was Luke Harrison compared to the rest of the country as a starting pitcher? He was the best one going into the postseason. That's something that bit them, is that they didn't have an ace because of Jared Spencer's injury. So think about what if Philantis is that. Think about what if Cody Howard takes another step. You know, he didn't pitch much in conference play. He didn't give up an earned run. Hudson Hamilton pitched a lot later in the year. He did really well. You've got these lefties coming in who are coming from good programs, and specifically Dotson and LeFou. If these guys take any sort of a step, and obviously maybe someone on this group progresses, maybe Flores doesn't take that next step that you need. Maybe Sonnier isn't quite as good, but if anyone takes that extra little step from a group that, what are you losing? You're losing Andre Duplantier, who wasn't really very good last year, and you're losing Jared Spencer. Volantis just one for one slots in, and then you have three other lefties to take his spot in the bullpen instead. As a group, those lefties will probably be able to give you something close to what Volantis got you. So it's just so easy to talk yourself into the staff getting better. Ruger Rojas not being a 6 ERA pitcher in the SEC seems very likely for me. So if any of those things happen and there aren't players that just crater, how many staffs are you taking in the SEC? And you know, that's kind of putting you on the spot right now, but schools like Georgia and Alabama have done really well in the portal. But off the top of your head, how many schools are you saying, man, I'm scared of their rotation? I think it's just going to be straight up better than Texas. Do you have one?
Here, ask me that. What was the question again?
Just
Sorry.
like off the top of your head, you know, I'm putting you on the spot here, but is there an SEC staff that coming into the season you're saying, I think they're definitively better than what Texas is bringing out? Or is this top two, three immediately?
Yeah,
Exactly.
and I'm telling, and the reason why is Max Wainer. You look at, I think that there's no better example of what's going on with the pitching staff than what you've seen from Max Wainer. Max Wainer joined the Texas A&M staff in 2024. The year before A&M had Max Wainer, they were 125th, and this is out of 300 teams, 125th in the ERA, 103rd in hits per nine, 149th in walks at spring pitch, and then 214th in walks per nine. The next year, number six in ERA, number 12 in hits per nine, number five in walks hits per inning pitch. Number nine, number 10 in K per nine, number 10 in walks per nine. Immediately, completely transformed what is probably a bottom of the SEC staff into an immediately top of the SEC staff. What does he do at Texas? Year one, five, number five ERA, number one in hits per nine, number three in walks hits per inning pitch. And then this is honestly bad for Max Wainer. We were ranked 40th in the K per nine and 34th in the walks per nine, and that's like, that is elite levels of stuff to see in a
Yep.
baseball team. To be in the ranked in the top 40 and top 30, like to be in the ranked top 30, you're in the top 1%, 10% or 1%. I'm blanking on my math right now. I'm dumb right now,
Okay.
but either way, it's you just I go and look at that and I say there's one common thing with that, and it's Max Wainer. We saw the pitching
Definitely.
staff from last year. We saw a very similar jump from what A&M expected saw. So for me to expect this pitching staff to decline while also adding in some really talented arms is I just can't see that happening. And also you go and you factor all these things in, that to me it tells me we're going to have the best staff in the SEC, because I mean there's nothing until Max Wainer gives me a reason to expect otherwise, I'm going to expect that. And I'll ask, see if Connor had pulled it up yet, because you're talking about Dylan Volantis. I think Dylan Volantis right now, I mean, there's a legit case that I know this is maybe a little bit of hyperbole, but for given his freshman status, who he was as a freshman, he's not like a Gage Wood or anything. Dylan Valantis is out there. He might be hopefully Connor can pull it up right here. But Dylan Valantis is – he was pitching like one of, if not the best pitcher in the country. And this is from Jackson AB on Twitter. Huge thanks to him. Like, this is Trackman and all the, like, legit data. So this isn't just, you know, hey, we're throwing numbers on the screen.
Yep.
The amount of times that people miss his pitches, they go – you see the chase percent on the curveball is insane. His chase percent overall, miss percent, K percent, and weighted on expected weighted on base average. This is 99th percentile or, like, best – number one overall. It's hard for me to see a world where Dylan Valantis is anything less than a top three pitcher next year. Like, and I'm really trying to be conservative because in my honest opinion, I think he's going to come back and he's going to, unless he gets injured or something tragic happens, Dylan Valantis is going to be the best pitcher in the NCAA for the next 2 years. And we're just spoiled, rotten, lucky to have it.
And believe it or not, Texas fans, some early 2027 draft projections have Texas having the top two picks right now in Rodriguez.
Adrian and now. Adrian Rodriguez at number one.
That's far away, but it's true. And just to give some context about how starting pitching will look in the SEC, transfers are not included in this idea. There's going to be some good transfer pitches that all these teams are bringing in. But, you know, top 10 innings pitched, and these are all aces in the SEC, I'd say the 10 best pitchers for the year. Cade Anderson to the draft, Anthony Ianson, Zach Root, Liam Doyle, Kyson Witherspoon, J.D. Thompson, all these guys, they're all going to be drafted. Same with probably Lampkin and Prager from A&M. So outside of Hunter Elliott, who was an ace for Ole Miss, and he is coming back next year, he's dominant. How many guys are even better than Luke Harrison that are returning? Luke Harrison had a 306 ERA in the SEC last year, and he was one of the longest, you know, had the most innings pitched in the league. So if Harrison's already one of the best statistical pitchers, ERA-wise, whip-wise, imagine what Valantis is going to be as a Friday starter.
Yeah, and I mean,
all you have to say.
Yeah, this is also the one of the fun things is like, what if we don't have to start Valantis? Like, I know one of those because it's going to come down to what Max Wiener feels is more valuable. Is Dylan Valantis going out there on one day and you get him all on one day? Right on Friday, is that more valuable, or would you rather have him come out there and hey, we can shut a game down? And but this is a beautiful thing. We got options, right?
Yeah.
And then it's a deal where okay, well, what if you say hey, Dylan Valantis on the Friday roll, we want him on the Friday roll. You're not you're losing obviously the best pitcher in America at the closing roll, right? But you still have Max Grubbs. You still have Thomas Burns. You still have Cal Higgins. Mm-hmm. You got options right there, right? You got options at the closing role. And it's one of these deals where putting Dylan Valantis in whatever role you think is going to be best for the team, it's not going to hurt you in another area where he's leaving because you're going to, just like the closing role there, if he doesn't start, you still got Thomas Burns. You still got Cade Bing.
Yep.
You still got Riojas. You got options there. And It's what a time to be alive. I love that Texas is actually back to being a pitching powerhouse. This is what we're supposed to be.
Yeah, and Wiener's prepared for this all offseason, the idea of slowly transitioning Valantis in the starting role. So if you see it, don't be surprised because that's what they've been preparing for. That's going to do it for us over here at Inside Texas Baseball. It's been a good show talking defense, talking pitching. You know, it's usually a pretty batting-heavy show on here talking about the Longhorns. So as always, do not forget about this amazing sale. If you haven't already subscribed to Inside Texas, I mean, now is your time. You missed out in the spring. Don't miss out in the summer right now with this $1 deal until the Ohio State game. You're going to want to see that coverage for the game. It's going to be a mad one. Want to have boots in the ground from all our Inside Texas staff. And, of course, baseball articles every week, multiple a week from Nash and I. We're going to round it out here for the day. Thank you all so much for watching. Thank you, Nash, for being on. We'll see you next time.
Welcome. Okay.